For tonight's scripture reading, I'd like to read Ecclesiastes 12. It's on page 962 in the Pew Bible. Ecclesiastes 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few. And those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When the people rise up at the sound of birds and all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire is no longer stirred, then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the well broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. And then I want to skip to verse 13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. This is the word of the Lord. So I want to introduce you to someone. Well, I was supposed to. I was going to. Oh, turn it on. Does that work? Oh, come on. Oh, there it is. That's my mom. She's a great lady. So she passed away August 25th. And I was there that weekend, and I stayed the night one night, and God gave me Ecclesiastes 12 to meditate on. What an amazing passage we just read. Right? I mean, you see dust to dust, you know, you see that little phrase in there from the verse that, verse 7, the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So you see where we get that little phrase. But I was just amazed because I told you one time that I do a random Bible study, so I have a little program that says, you know, show me the chapter I should read, and Ecclesiastes showed up that night, and it was just like, wow, what a passage, because it talks about in growing older and passing to your eternal home. I thought, my goodness, what a passage to consider. Well, I'm excited to tell you the things that I learned. So she passed away, and one of my friends came to the funeral, and he just made this comment that we know, but 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body is present with the Lord. You know that. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Well, my mom was 94, and often she said that she wanted to be with the Lord. And when you get older and you have multiple problems and health problems, it's just like you want to go to be with Jesus. And she did. I'll get to move in the right direction here now. So I really love this passage for those, all of us no doubt have had losses in our families of those believers who've gone on to be with the Lord. But I love this passage from Luke 16. It describes Lazarus and it says the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Isn't that a comforting image in your mind? That you're not alone at the most lonely part of your life. I stayed with my mom in the room, and she said, it's just so encouraging to know that you're here with me. But I can only go so far, right? I can't hold her hand through the veil. But the Lord sends his messengers to be with saints at that moment when they pass from this life to the next, and angels escorted her into the presence of God. What a comfort. And all of you have those memories of someone passing away. Think about that moment. The angels were filled with in that room, and they were there to escort your loved one to glory. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. Well, getting older is no fun. I'm starting to learn that. Andy Rooney said, it's paradoxical that the idea of living a long life appeals to everyone, but the idea of getting old appeals to no one. Right? Live a long life. But yeah, it's really hard. And then you know you're getting old when you stoop to tie your shoelaces and wonder what else you could do when you're down there, while you're down there. I've actually thought that every once in a while. I'm down here now. What else is around here that I need to do while I'm here? C.S. Lewis said, we must recognize that as we grow older, we become like old cars. More and more repairs and replacements are necessary. And then last one, I like, when your friends begin to flatter you on how young you look, it's a sure sign you're getting old. Mark Twain. That's true, isn't it? Well, Solomon says a lot about getting old. And this passage is a very descriptive, poetic rendition of what does it mean to get old. So this is why this passage is so interesting to me. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come. Well, that's those days we've been talking about when your health wanes and maybe your mind goes and, you know, all sorts of difficult times that you are going to experience. So you're supposed to remember your Creator before you get to that point in your life. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. There are moments where you just everything creaks, everything aches, and you don't find pleasure in them. And it gradually gets worse, that we all know. So here's his description of what it's like to get old. When the keepers of the house tremble. Well, he's referencing here your hands, your arms tremble. And my mom would say, my arm's trembling so much I can't hold up the phone, right? So we get to that moment. In fact, she got to the point where she couldn't feed herself because her hand was trembling so much. And you know that those are difficult things for people to try to navigate. Solomon says, and the strong men stoop. Well, you know, when you get old, you get all bent over and Your back doesn't work as well, and your knees don't work as well, and I'm a living testament of that verse. When the grinders cease because they are few, that's pretty descriptive, right? I mean, losing teeth here and there. We got crowns we got to replace. We got bridges. We got the whole denture thing going on. It's like Solomon knew what was going on, describing life when you get old. When those looking through the windows grow dim. Well, so he's talking about your eyesight, right? He's talking about you can't see as clearly as you did when you were young. My mom, I think when she was 65-ish, got macular degeneration. And so slowly she lost her vision. And so she had to use a magnifier. She had to read anything. She had to use this machine and had to turn up the brightness all the time because her eyes were fading. When the doors to the street are closed, you know, your mobility is a big issue as you get older in life. And many times people are homebound. the doors to the street are closed. They can't go anywhere. It says about Peter, it says, you know, you will, when you get old, it says, people will take you places you don't want to go. You won't be able to take them yourself. So as you age, you become more and more dependent on transportation. And sometimes you're homebound. And the sound of grinding fades. My goodness. I have two partners, and they both have hearing aids. It's just like, oh my. And their hearing aids are cool because they can connect them to their iPhones, and they can adjust them on their iPhones. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool stuff. But still, it's annoying, right, when your hearing fades. People rise up at the sound of birds. Do you sleep through the night? Does that bird outside the window wake you up and you can't get back to sleep? Well, that means you're getting old. And their songs grow faint. So again, you can't really make out exactly what's going on because you can't hear it well. When people are afraid of heights, that happens as you get older. It should happen when you're younger too. But when you're younger, you just take things on and you do things you shouldn't be doing. And you climb ladders you shouldn't climb. My mom, when she was too old to do it, but she wasn't, you know, you couldn't tell her that. She got in the back of our F Ford 150 on a stepladder, and so she could take some pick some apples off the tree. Unbelievable! And of course, the back of the pickup truck was slick, and so she fell and broke her arm. And I said, you know, you really shouldn't have been doing that. And she said, don't talk to me about that. Right, I don't want to hear it. It's like, okay. But you should be afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets. Right, you don't want to necessarily go certain places because you don't think maybe you're safe. And in the younger days, you'd say you could take anybody on. But when you get older, you get a little wiser. You say, well, you know, I don't want to be in situations where I might have to hurt somebody, right? Because I don't think I can. And the almond tree blossoms. So we have a lot of us can testify to that verse tonight, right? So you get gray hair, and it's just that sign of aging. And the grasshopper drags itself along. That's getting out of bed, friends. That's kind of trying to get your balance, trying to get your motivation, creaking, the grasshopper. That is just so anywhere all the time, but now as he gets old, he is dragging. Well, I feel like I'm talking to some dragon grasshoppers. Desire no longer stirred, and so you lose your interest and will to get up and do big things. You don't really, you just kind of content to stay and do the little things. Then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the street. So that moment where God takes you to eternity, and the rest of us are mourning your loss, mourning that we don't have you anymore. Remember him before the silver cord is severed. That's an image here, maybe of your spinal cord, maybe of your brain, the golden bowl is broken, maybe that's your skull, maybe the pitcher is shattered at the spring, maybe that's your heart, the well broken at the well. I don't know all these images, but he's trying to describe what happens when you get old. And we already said, and dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Well, that's pleasant, right? I mean, that's really an upper, right? That's just really depressing, isn't it? We're all getting old and we're going to die. That's very depressing to hear, to be reminded of. Even though we know it, but to be reminded of it is kind of depressing. Now that all has been heard, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind, for God will bring every deed to judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. The point is, when you face your mortality, when you're in the hospital room watching your loved one pass to eternity, you start thinking about what really matters in life. you start considering, he said, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. And that's true. Apart from God, everything is meaningless. So Solomon boils this all down to these three thoughts. I'm going to give them to you. The first one is to remember. The next one is to fear God. And the third one is to keep his commandments. We have to kind of boil life down to the simple things that we can do, that so many things outside our control, but some of the things we can control, and we need to focus on the things that really matter. Well, Ben Franklin said, in this world, nothing can be certain except death and taxes, right? But I want to say that Solomon says something else. He said, death and judgment are certain. Solomon said it. The writer of the Hebrews said it. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. So facing these difficult truths head on is the only way to deal with them. Some people just ignore the fact that they're going to die. And they ignore the fact that someday they're going to meet the Lord. So they live their lives the way they want to live their lives, and they are going to be in for a rude awakening. Death and judgment. That's what we want to talk about. So Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 12, remember, remember. This is one of these moments that, yeah, you remember all the loved ones. Remember all, funerals are time for memories, right? I mean, how many times as I was sitting in the hospital room just thinking of all the wonderful things and the fun times and the silly times. But that's not what Solomon is saying. He says, remember your Creator. Remember Him. We need to focus on the Lord. So this is funny. George Carlin, who was a pagan, said something pretty funny. He says, I was thinking about how people seem to read a Bible a lot more as they get older. And then it dawned on me, they're cramming for their final exam. That's funny, but that's not funny, because that's probably the truth. You know, that's why Solomon says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So at the end, you're not cramming to try to catch up, but you've been walking with the Lord your entire life. Remember, Satan says, youth is for pleasure. The middle age is for business. And old age is for religion. Well, why would Satan say that? Because he wants you to put it off as long as you can. He wants you to delay because he knows that if you delay, you won't be serious about it. And he's going to try to steal your life so he can take you for his own. The Bible says youth, middle age, and old age are for your Creator. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. So, interesting, 83% of Christians make their first commitment to Jesus between the ages of 4 and 14. So it is so vital that our youth ministry is so strong, and that it is not only teaching kids how to be kind and loving and respectful and obey your parents, but that they understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes into Father by them, but by Him. It is so vital. And the older they get without making that decision, the more difficult it's going to become. This is why Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He wants people to trust Him, remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Why should you trust Christ and follow the Lord when you're young? Because you got energy, right? You got so much energy built up in you, and you can channel and use it for Jesus. And you have sensitivity. Sometimes as people get older, they become callous, they become cold, they become, the Word of God is just old stuff, I don't need it anymore. They become insensitized to it. But when you're young, you're open, and the Holy Spirit can touch your heart, and you can respond to Him in ways that it's difficult, more difficult when you're older. I trusted Christ when I was 6.5 years old. And the Lord touched my life and caused me to walk in his way. And who knows, if I would have gotten older, maybe the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches would have taken the seed of the gospel away from my heart. When you're young, you have teachableness. You can learn. You can be open to the Word of God, and it can fill your heart. And so now you can look at life through a scriptural lens, and you can view things from eternity's values in view. But when you're young, you also are vulnerable. You're vulnerable to the world. You're vulnerable to the flesh. You're vulnerable to the devil. And this is why it says in Psalm 119, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need to encourage our young people to hide God's word in their hearts, to keep them on the straight path, to keep them close to the Lord, following him. Remember, the next one is fear God. The fear of God is the fear of the judgment of God and eternal death, which is eternal separation from God. Unbelievers need to fear God. It says in Luke 12, but I will show you to whom you should fear. Fear him who, after you've been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Unbelievers don't fear God. They just they make fun of God. They mock God. But they need to have a dreadful fear of God. In fact, it says it's a dreadful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. People live their lives, they're oblivious, they're just living for the flesh, they're living for whatever, and they don't fear God, and they just go on their way thinking that it doesn't really matter. They can live however they want to live. And this truth says it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You need to fear God. Christians, fearing God means that we have a reverence for him that greatly impacts the way we live. The fear of God is respecting him. It's obeying him. It's submitting to his discipline. It's worshiping him in awe. Unbelievers need to fear God because of the judgment. Christians need to fear God because he is our Savior, and we need to worship him and worship him in spirit and truth. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we receive in the kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. We can't be so familiar with God that we take him lightly or take him for granted or just have such a familiarity with him that we don't take him seriously. Even as believers, we need to take God seriously, fear God. Keep his commands. We talk a lot about that. We quote the Ten Commandments all the time because we're just reminded that we need to keep his commands. I read a verse in 2 Kings the other day. I thought, wow, that's interesting. This is the children of Israel as they're in Babylon, actually before they went to Babylon. And the Lord just said, listen, they worshiped idols, though the Lord had said, you shall not do this. The Lord warned Israel and Judah through his prophets and seers, turn from your evil ways, observe my commands and decrees in accordance with the entire law that I commanded your ancestors to obey, and I delivered to you through my servants, the prophets. He warned them, but they would not listen and were stiff-necked as their ancestors, who did not trust in the Lord their God. They rejected his decrees and the covenant he had made with their ancestors and the statutes he had warned them to keep. And this little phrase is interesting. They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. Wow. That's interesting. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, do not do as they do. They forsook all the commands of the Lord their God. Keep his commands. Don't be a worthless idol. That's not just an Old Testament concept. That's a New Testament concept. John says, Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commands. So Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. So I think this verse, we could preach all night on this verse. It says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Isn't that an interesting concept? The Father is looking for those who follow his word. And he wants to bless you, but more than that, he wants to come and be with you, and he wants to be at home. He wants to be in your life and not feel like he's a stranger. He wants to feel comfortable. He wants to feel like, I'm used to this place. I love this place because this person loves me. He will make his home with you. Interesting. Keep his commands. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what his command is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. You just can't say you love Jesus and live any way you want to live. It doesn't work that way. John says you're a liar. You've got to do what you say and not just say it. And this is a command to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another. He commanded us. The one who keeps God's command lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Well, so obeying God's word and believing in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in your life, and he's a witness to you that you are a son of God. It is one of those ways that you have eternal security, is the confidence, because the Spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are a child of God. Keep his commands. Now, let's go back to Ecclesiastes 12. So, fear God, keep his commands. This is the duty of all mankind, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Did I break it? No. So, I'm back to my death and judgment. Just as people are destined to die once, after that, to face judgment. So I talked about Ecclesiastes 12, and then I started thinking about death and judgment, and I found a whole other passage. And so tonight, you get two sermons for the price of one. I can see you're thrilled. Let's see, what time is it? Let's see. Lauren said I can only speak 90 minutes, so thanks, Lauren. I think I can get it done by then. I'll hurry. Death and judgment. It's in John chapter 5, and the reason I'm showing this verse is because it parallels with Ecclesiastes 12. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. So here we're talking about death and judgment. Of course, he raises the dead, so that's the great truth of this. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So I have three words. The first time in Ecclesiastes, I said, remember, fear God, keep his commandments. Now I got three words. Honor is the first one. You need to honor the Son. How do we do that? Well, to honor someone is to value him highly or bestow value on him. We're supposed to honor one another. We're supposed to honor your father and mother. You're supposed to honor Christ's servants. You're supposed to honor the emperor of all things. But we're supposed to honor the king. And so in Psalm 2, the psalmist writes, verse 12, kiss the Son or he will be angry. Honor the Son. We need to give honor to the Lord. The second word is here in John chapter 5. And this is a wonderful verse. Verily I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Hear the word of God. Hear the call. Well, that's not what they did in 2 Kings 17. They would not listen. They were stiff-necked. But you need to hear. Not only do you need to hear, you need to believe. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. There's that movement, crossing over from death to life. Acts 13, therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sin is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. Set free from every sin. But judgment is coming. So John says, do not be amazed at this, for time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live. Those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. That sounds exactly like Ecclesiastes 12. But I just think about that. Those who are in their graves will hear his voice. What a moment. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So there's a moment, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and you're going to stand before him. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Sounds a lot like Ecclesiastes 12 and John chapter 5 and on and on and on. Judgment for us. You're going to have to give account. I'm going to have to give account to the Lord. But the wonderful truth of this whole message is the resurrection. It's death and judgment, but it's the resurrection. So will it be with the resurrection of dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. My mom, she was laid in the ground, but she will be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It will be raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It's raised in power. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is our hope for our resurrection. So here it is. This is Johnny Cash. When he was in his 80s, he sang this song, and at that moment, he had a pretty clear testimony of faith, but his voice was weak, but he still wanted to sing this song. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave that can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm going to rise right up of the ground. There ain't no grave that can hold my body down. I wanted Hank to sing that, but I didn't. He could do it. What a great song. So this is Jerry Anderson. He sculpted this image. It says, come unto me. Notice the old lady on the left, going through the veil, receiving her new body, and meeting Jesus. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. I'm sure you have somebody in your heart that you've lost, and it still hurts, and you still cry. But this image ought to just give you joy. Because when your loved one passed from death to life, it says in John chapter 5, they crossed over from death to life. Only because of Jesus, only because of their faith in Jesus. And then they get to see Jesus, it should give you joy. Because we mourn, we grieve, not like those who have no hope. We have hope. So, Remember, fear God, keep his commandments, honor, hear, believe. Father, thank you. Thank you for the hope in Jesus. We reviewed the things about growing older that Solomon reviewed for us, and it's difficult to hear, and it's difficult to experience. And each of us has various aches and ailments. We have lots of pains. We know we're on this path to death, and it's just the way it is. And we just struggle with that, but we just thank you that we have the hope of the resurrection. We pray that you would help us to keep these things in our hearts, because we know that we will stand before you and we will give an account of everything we've said and done. We want to be able to give you the glory for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.